Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As with everything Jesus does, his baptism is not for him, it's for us. Obviously, Jesus doesn't need baptism. That's why John says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. If there's anything you can say about baptism, it is that. John preached it, Jesus preached it, his apostles preached it. It's what we confess every Sunday in the Nicene Creed. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. This is basic to what baptism is. And Jesus doesn't have any sins. John knows that, and so he tries to prevent Jesus from being baptized. It's a beautiful confession on John's part. John is so beautifully consistent. He has the virtue of constancy. He is, as Jesus says, no reed shaken in the wind. He sticks to his guns, as we say here in Wyoming. Do we say that here in Wyoming? I think everyone says that, actually. He has the virtue of constancy. So he says, Jesus must increase, John must decrease. John is not worthy to untie the strap of Jesus' sandals. He who comes after him is before him. This is what John has insisted, and he's not going to change his confession. He's constant, and he insists on it here again. I need to be baptized by you. I'm the sinner, not you, Jesus. I'm the servant, you are the master. I the lesser, you the greater. And this virtue of constancy is what all of us need to, especially in our day. Don't change your opinion on things that matter, that have to do with God's word. You can change your opinion about whether to use margarine or butter, especially if you currently use margarine. You can change your opinion on whether you like Fords or Chevys, but don't change your Christian convictions that God is creator of all things, that he makes us male and female in his image, that he made marriage and the family for our good, that Christ is Lord, and that everything he says is pure and good and wonderful, and his word is the standard of all truth and nothing else. You never give up on that. John didn't give up on that. He never changed his conviction. So when Jesus says, permit it to be so now, do it, John, baptize me, John remains completely consistent, totally constant, and he does what his Lord told him to do. Because Jesus is his master, and what he says goes, period. No professor, no scientist, no pastor, no parents, no friend, no politician or powerful influencer gets to contradict Jesus. He is Lord. But Jesus also shows John what kind of Lord he is. He's not a tyrant. He doesn't come to rule over us by sword, to force us to do things. It's such a beautiful Lord that we have. He comes as a servant. He comes for us. He comes to join us in our miseries. Immediately after he's baptized, he goes and he's tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness as he fasts and suffers. That's the Lord you have. He is the Lord who so fully identifies with you that he submits to a baptism that is for you, for sinners. And why does he do that? He does it because he's the sin bearer. He's the one, as St. Paul says, who became sin for us. He is the Lamb who bears the sin of the world. We always sing, O Christ, thou Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But you can translate the Greek just as well, who bears, who carries the sin of the world. His baptism is for us. And first of all, and very obviously, once Jesus is baptized, there's no despising baptism. There's no saying, it's no big deal. No need to talk about it so much, Pastor. It's just water. Really? Just water. Then why did heaven open when Jesus was baptized? Why did the Father thunder from this heaven? Why did the Holy Spirit descend and rest on Jesus? Why did the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make their clearest epiphany, the most obvious revelation of who God is, right here in Jesus' baptism? Search the scripture, look in all of the Bible, and try to find another place where God is so clearly revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you will not find it, except one other place, and that is when Jesus commands his apostles to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is no accident. You want to know who God is, who this creator of heaven and earth is, who your creator is, you will find it in baptism. So there's no saying it's just water, because plain water doesn't open heaven, and plain water doesn't give the Holy Spirit, and plain water doesn't include the words of the Father, "You are my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Second, Jesus' baptism shows you how amazing baptism is. And you don't get to see it with your own eyes when you see someone baptized here in this church. You see with your eyes water poured on a head, and you hear with your ears simple words spoken by a sinful man. But at Jesus' baptism, you get to see it. You get to see what's really happening. So look at it. Heaven was closed before Jesus' baptism. Now it's ripped wide open. And God's voice was silent. Now it thunders and speaks words of ownership. "You are my Son." And words of approval. "I am well pleased with you." There is no condemnation here. And here all of God is present. It's the Father's voice. It's the Son in human flesh. The Spirit in the form of a dove. This is God's eager invitation to you to see what really happened at your baptism. So let your mind, let your imagination be taken captive by Christ your Lord and by his baptism. And then you'll see reality as God made it, as God determines it, and not as our weak and our sinful eyes and reason imagine it to be. Jesus was baptized precisely for this reason. So you can see there what really happens at your baptism, at the baptism of your children and of the members of this congregation and everyone who's baptized into Jesus' name. So you can witness with John the power and the beauty of Christian baptism. So see heaven opened. When you see a baptism here, see heaven opened. See the Holy Spirit descend. See the Father say, "You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." See God himself there in all of his fullness. See the gates of hell close and the doors of paradise wide open and myriads of angels singing with joy, all the saints rejoicing, because this is the reality. Don't be deceived by appearances. Remember that the Lord Jesus is creator of all things, and yet he appeared weak and lowly and shamed. Remember that God's greatest power and his great glory are found in his suffering and his death and his shame on the cross. Remember what the Holy Spirit says, which you just heard. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So when you were baptized, heaven did open, and millions of angels did sing for joy, and the Holy Spirit did become your possession. The Father did call you his child, and you were joined to his Son. So remember your baptism that way, as if you saw all this happen with your own eyes, because God, the creator of all reality, he did see it happen. Why is baptism so powerful? How can it do such great things, we ask in the catechism? Because Jesus joins us in baptism, that's why. And that's what you see above all else in his baptism. He connects himself to baptism inseparably. Where there is Christian baptism, there is Christ. And where Christ is, there is salvation and joy and sonship and the Father and the Holy Spirit, all of God. As many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. This is how God speaks about your baptism. You are joined to Christ so that literally what happened to Jesus the day he was baptized happens to you. The Father claims you as his beloved Son, and he tells you he is pleased with you, and the Holy Spirit rests on you. Now, baptism doesn't earn this for you. Baptism doesn't earn a thing for you. It's not a magic rite. Jesus earns it. He will go straight from his baptism to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he will resist all the devil's temptations with the constancy that John the Baptist could only dream of. He will fast and he will suffer the devil's attacks. And all through it, he'll depend entirely on God's word, on his Father. And he'll send the accuser away defeated. And he will earn a real righteousness for you, and a righteousness that you could never earn by your own works, by your own strivings, a heaven that you could not reach. And he will live perfectly in your place, even to the very end, taking finally your punishment on himself and paying with the blood of God for the sins of men. And he calls that his baptism. He earned it, and he gives it to you in your baptism, where he joins you to himself. And this you receive by faith. Faith is a precious thing. It is the most precious thing that you possess. Faith is God allowing you to see and love reality, the truth of your baptism. It is God opening your eyes to see heaven opened. It is God opening your ears to hear the Father himself tell you that he loves you as his own child, because he cannot separate his love for his Son from his love for you. And it doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter the age when you were baptized. It's amazing what people who teach the Bible or preach the Bible, what they'll get hung up on. Just tiny little things that don't matter at all. It doesn't matter the time or the age when you were baptized. Jesus was baptized at the age of 30. Not because he didn't believe in infant baptism, but because baptism didn't exist when he was an infant. That's a pretty good reason not to get baptized as an infant. John the Baptist is only 6 years old, 6 months older than Jesus. People will actually argue that we should be baptized as adults because Jesus was. And this is the sort of arguing that God constantly warns against in the Bible. Don't argue about ridiculously silly things that can't possibly matter and that are legalistic, just rules that you have to follow. Jesus says babies can have faith. He welcomes them into his presence. He blesses them. He says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. He could not possibly deny them baptism. And it doesn't matter the place either, where you were baptized. I think it's become a trend over hundreds and hundreds of years to go get baptized in the Jordan River because that's where Jesus was baptized. But Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River because God's man was there. John the Baptist was there. That's where baptism was. So he went there. And you will get baptized where you are and go to God's man in his church to be baptized by him. And it doesn't matter the mode either, how you were baptized, whether you were dunked under the water or the water was poured over you. Jesus was dunked because he was in a river. And if we sprinkle water over you here, it's because we don't have a river flowing in this church. Where there is water and the word that Jesus commanded, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, there is Christian baptism. There the miracle happens. There Jesus is, and with Jesus, all of God's favor and all of God's love. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Know these words, memorize them. Know these words like you know your own name, because they're a summary of everything God wants to teach you in your life. The Father says these words to his own natural Son, the Son who's eternal with him, of the same substance with him, God of God, light from light, very God from very God. And yet he says these words also to a man, to your brother, to the one born in time to the Virgin Mary. And he says them at Jesus' baptism because Jesus is now going to do his Father's beautiful will. He's now going to please his Father by living for us and suffering for us and dying for us and winning us the inheritance of everlasting life, his inheritance that he now gives to us. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And if he is pleased with his Son, he is pleased with you. You don't have to ascend to heaven in your thoughts to figure out the great mysteries of God. You don't have to worry and fret whether you are one of the chosen, one of God's elect. You don't have to wonder what is prepared for you after death or fear what God's judgment will be when you see him finally face to face. Only look at Jesus at his baptism, and look at Jesus in your baptism, and hear these beautiful words applied to you. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Because there is your election. There is God's judgment. There is what God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Father finds you in Christ and embraces you with eternal and boundless love. So use this. Use your baptism. Imagine it. Think on it. I had a horrible day off on Friday. Our van broke down. We had to get it towed. The dealership tried to rip me off. My driveway was completely drifted in, and I spent hours shoveling it out. And this was all before noon. And I had two goals for that day. It was my day off: to ski and to read my novel. And as I quickly realized as I was standing there in the cold that I wasn't going to get to do either, and my fingers were freezing off, I became very anxious and worried about money and everything else that had to be done. And then I remembered these words. I remembered my baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ loves me more than I can imagine. That he loves me as his own child. That as I stood there, angry and upset, heaven was open, and the Spirit still abides with me. That all my sins are still forgiven, and I'm washed clean by my Savior's blood, and life is beautiful because of this, no matter what else happens. And then I enjoyed shoveling with my boy David. He helped a lot. And God put Christians in my life who saved me from throwing away my money on thieving salesmen. And then I got to go to church, and I got to hear the Father's word to me and eat my Savior's body and blood and sing in the Spirit and with the angels the most beautiful praises to the Savior. And it was a wonderful day. I never got to ski. I never got to read my novel, but God gave me better things with a little suffering added and with Christian fellowship and with his word. So use your baptism. Use God's word. Don't ignore its power. Don't neglect the gift that is in you, the Spirit who inspires you. No matter what you are going through, whether joy or pain, in all your life, every single day, see the reality of Jesus' baptism and your baptism. See heaven opened and your Father smiling on you, and so live as his child, constant and firm, standing on his word, knowing that the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, abides with you and is your help in this. And obey his commandments and love and forgive one another and resist temptation and seek God's instruction and above everything revel in his love for you in Christ Jesus. And he will give you the joy and peace that this world will never give you. And he'll make you see that every day is the day that the Lord has made a gift from him. That since you are baptized, every day has reason for rejoicing. And the Father will keep you faithful by his Spirit to his Son, just as his Son has been faithful to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Stand and sing.